We have Mark from Prescott, Arizona on the line. How's it going, Mark?
Good, Bob. How you doing today?
Doing okay. Prescott. I've been to Prescott. This is a little piece of trivia. That's where they shot the movie Billy Jack, isn't it?
In the courthouse on the beautiful lawn. It used to be the capital of the beautiful state of Arizona.
A somewhat delightful and somewhat horrible movie at the same time, but I enjoy it. I always watch it when it's on. Prescott's a pretty small town, Mark. Is it really true that they closed down the library over there? I hear somebody checked out the book. Okay.
Is that a snare drum I'm hearing in the background?
You know, everybody here is so in awe with the joke that they're laughing. They're all rolling on the floor right here in the studio.
Gotcha.
Okay, Mark, just in case somebody wanted us to have a serious conversation, let me press on. What can we do for you today? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I think I really enjoyed your book about apologetics. I love the way you've broken it down between academic apologetics and moral apologetics.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I find that really helpful. And I think the question I have is more the academic apologetics.
Okay.
It seems like when I was an undergraduate college student, when I was on campus, and I was a Christian at the time, if I had a conversation with a non-believer, it just seemed like almost everyone had a high view of Scripture.
Yes.
And as we began to have dialogue and to help encourage each other to take steps of faith, it wasn't really a matter of belief, but a matter of just will, of whether or not to follow God into relationship.
Right.
And it seems like, obviously, the times have really changed today, whether you're on a college campus or whether you're out in the marketplace. Boy, it just seems like people just do not have a high view of Scripture.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me that's real central to that. I mean, I personally, you know, want to always try to get better at doing a better job of answering, you know, legitimate questions. And so I was just wondering, you know, what are you saying to folks today if people are struggling with actually believing that the Bible and the Old Testament, New Testament says true things about God?
Sure.
How do you go about encouraging them and helping them?
Well, first of all, one of the reasons people have a lower view of Scripture is that they're taking religious studies classes at universities that are taught by people who basically don't believe in the Bible. And I think it's fine for a person to teach any viewpoint they want at the university. If a professor doesn't think the Bible's true, that's fine. Let them teach that. But to not allow somebody with another view to also teach, maybe in the same department, so that students can hear both sides, is a real problem with our educational system. In religious studies classes today, they talk a lot about tolerance toward religions. What they usually mean by that is tolerance toward all religions except Christianity. When they're talking about Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, you always hear the professor say, "Now, we're not here to judge. We're not here to critique. We're just going to look at what this religion teaches. And this person's religion is beautiful. We've got to respect all religions." But the minute he gets to Christianity, we hear that the Bible's a chauvinistic book. It's a racist book. It's a book that promotes genocide. It's a book that contradicts itself. The apostles didn't really write the New Testament. It was written 100 years later. Stuff that, A, is not really true. B, they back up with nothing.
Right.
Absolutely not. So that's part of the problem. Now, what would we say to somebody who asked about the authority of the Bible? I think the mistake that Christians made, and I want to be fair here because I've talked about the mistakes that academia makes on the campus. The
right.
mistakes that Christians make is we go around telling people it's the Word of God and we don't explain what we mean.
Right.
When we call it the Word of God, do we mean that God came down and divinely dictated every bit of it? Well, part of it was written that way. That's certainly the way God wrote Moses. But the Bible is a collection of 66 different documents written by 40 different authors over a period of some 2,000 years. It's a whole library of books. And when we get to the New Testament, it is written by people who were eyewitnesses to the life, teachings of Jesus, and the resurrection. Now, if we had a group of different eyewitnesses talk about a man named Jesus starting a revolution or giving a speech, nobody would doubt it. But because Jesus did miraculous things and because Jesus talked about subjects that make people uncomfortable, such as heaven and hell, there's this immediate bias and people are unwilling to look at the Bible as a collection of historical documents. And I think that's where we start. We say, yes, it's inspired by God, but it was written at the hands of men. And we need to study it the way we would study any other history. When we do that, we find that the Bible is actually very accurate, that it's backed up with archaeology, that it's backed up with writings outside of the New Testament, which nevertheless affirm that there was a Jesus of Nazareth who did miracles, who was executed under Pontius Pilate, who rose from the dead 3 days later. We have people who weren't even Christians testifying that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
That's where I would begin, Mark.
Yeah. That sounds great. Now, as far as the Old Testament, when you're trying to build a case for that.
Oh, heck, I didn't know I was going to have to defend the Old Testament. Pete's sakes. Got my head filled with it. You're not going to bring up all those Old Testament wars and things, are you?
Well, no, I'm kidding. It's the conversation you have. People struggle with Adam and Eve and Cain find a wife. And
absolutely.
Noah's flood and the impact of that.
Yeah.
And like you said about the war stuff, you know, it sounds like in some portions of the Old Testament that God is using the Israelites to commit genocide.
Okay, you know, right. And those are all very valid questions.
Yeah.
Now, for the sake of time, which of those things of the Old Testament concerns you the most? Let's deal with that one. But they're all very good questions.
Yeah. Maybe instead of picking one of those issues, just in a general sense, I mean, how do you build a case for the Old Testament? It seems like the New Testament, as you said, the authentic witnesses really help with that.
Right.
And as far as validity of the Old Testament, making the connection to the New, how do you go about doing that?
Okay, well, that's an excellent question you're asking, and actually we can work back to it. Central to the Bible is the resurrection. If Christ really rose from the dead, if that is verified by history, which it is, a lot of people may want to call in and argue with me, but let them call, which it is, that would mean that what Jesus taught was true. Obviously, if Jesus were a false prophet, and he got crucified and stayed in the tomb, that would be one thing. But when he rose from the dead 3 days later, appeared not only to his followers, but 500 other people, well, obviously only God has the power of life and death. So whoever Jesus is, God is authenticating that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and Jesus believed certain things about the Old Testament. Jesus was raised as a Jew. As a Jew, he referred, now they didn't call it the Old Testament in those days, they called it the writings and the prophets, or sometimes you saw the phrase Moses and the prophets.
Right.
When you see that phrase in the New Testament, Jesus is talking about the Old Testament. And interestingly enough, Jesus himself referred to some of the stories, quote unquote, that we have the greatest trouble with. He referred specifically to Jonah. He referred specifically to Noah. But the truth is, he talked about the entire Old Testament as though it were true. So the truth is, Mark, if we start from the resurrection, there's kind of a deductive process of reasoning here, but we can work back and say, okay, what Jesus taught is true, and Jesus gave his apostles special authority, and they wrote the New Testament, and Jesus believed in the Old Testament. We've actually verified the entire Bible through the life of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. So you really don't need to go back and verify every miracle in a singular fashion. Now, having said that, there have been some fantastic archaeological discoveries. Early in the 20th century, they discovered Jericho, and they found that the walls fell in a very unusual manner. That's not too shabby. But the point is, even if they hadn't done that, if we can verify the resurrection, we can work back to the rest of it.
Right. Well, you know, I know you travel around the country and have dialogues with students
on
campuses and all that. Do you spend much time talking to them about the authority of Scripture, or is that kind
absolutely.
Of a rabbit trail in some ways?
No. I talk about it quite a bit. Now, these days, like you said, what we did in the book is we broke it down into moral and academics. And I find people are asking the moral questions more these days. How could a loving God send people to hell?
Right.
How can you claim Jesus is the only way? Those are good questions. But obviously, if the Bible isn't true, we shouldn't be following it. This is the record that God has given us, and it's very important. And I've actually done formal debates on whether or not the Bible is the Word of God.
Right. That's great. Any books you could suggest if someone wants to kind of hone their skills at being more effective, having dialogue?
You mean that somebody might read a book other than mine, Mark? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, your book's already in the library. We have 6 second choices here.
Josh McDowell's written a wonderful book called More Than a Carpenter. I know his most famous book is Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Don't get that one. It's really a big hodgepodge encyclopedia. It's got wonderful stuff, but I use it as a reference. If you want something that's readable, More Than a Carpenter, Cliff Connectly, who does work similar to mine, and I've met Cliff. I'm friends with Cliff. He does a wonderful ministry. He has a book called Give Me an Answer. Lee Strobel has a couple of books, A Case for Christ and A Case for Faith. They're excellent. In these books, he's actually interviewing scholars. He's a journalist, a prize-winning journalist.
Right.
He's interviewing in one chapter an archaeologist, in the next chapter a scientist asking him about evolution, in the next chapter a history teacher, and it's an incredible book. Those are some of the best. Some of the best in my opinion, but there's a lot of apologetic stuff out there. I think what I gave you is some stuff right at the top of the list.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you, Bob.
My good friend. Good talking to you.
Next time you're in Prescott, I'll buy you a burger at the place where Billy Jack
The same place where Billy Jack beat up all those people?
Wait
a minute. We're Christians. We're not excited about people being beat up here. We're just excited about Billy Jack. Okay.
There you go.
Take care.
Bob.
Bye-bye, Mark. Bye-bye. Take it easy.